It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
And here we are. What a nice open there, JT Noah. Welcome, JT Noah. Good seeing you again, man.
Hey, it's good seeing you, Bing.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. That gets the juices flowing, doesn't it? You were sitting in here with me for the post game all last year for the home games or road games. I can't remember which one. It was one or the other. But regardless, we had a lot of fun, didn't we? And you know what? It just keeps continuing. But you know what we kept hearing last year, JT? We kept hearing, you know what? I'm not going to doubt the Chiefs anymore. You know, I'm not going to pick against them. I'm just not going to do it. That's what they said. That's what they said. They said they've learned their lesson. They're not going to do it again. And that was a questionable Chiefs team. Don't forget, on Christmas Day, they were 9-6 last year. They were at that crossroad of downfall or dynasty. They had to pick which direction to go. Struggled against the Bengals the next week. They won. They're now considered a dynasty in the National Football League. That was the question. They had two roads to take. This year was much better. They locked up home field advantage on Christmas Day. For all intents and purposes, this team better than last year. But last year, you saw an historic postseason for the Chiefs. Historic postseason. People said they couldn't win on the road. Remember, JT? Oh, what's going to happen with Mahomes going on the road? What's going to happen? It's not going to work. But then afterwards, they said it. A lot of them said it. They said, you know what? I'm not going to pick against Chiefs. I've learned my lesson. Well, they didn't. Because guess what happened this year? Same thing happened. What did they do in the last postseason, okay? They played Miami at home. Remember that 31-degree? Were you here that night? It was so cold. Remember that?
Yep, I remember that because I complimented your shorts.
I didn't wear shorts, man.
Yeah, you did.
No, that's not true because I won't wear shorts if it's minus degrees. I wore sweats over my shorts, but then I put my shorts on.
Oh, okay, so you had the shorts on in the studio, and I made that comment.
Yeah, but,
okay.
But the pants were here. The sweatpants were here. But they played the number two ranked offense in the NFL. It was number one at the point they beat them in Munich, Germany, the Dolphins, but it was number two, 29.2 points a game. They played San Francisco. They were number three in the NFL, 28.9 points a game. Played that, they were number two in the NFL. They played number three, or it was actually Baltimore's number four in the NFL at 28.4 points per game. And they played the Bills in the divisional round last year, who were sixth in the NFL, 26.5 points a game. That's who they played. Those are the scoring offenses they played. Now, the defense they played Baltimore. They were the number one scoring defense in the NFL last year. Beat them. San Francisco, the number three scoring defense in the NFL. Beat them. Buffalo, the number four scoring defense in the NFL. Beat them. So you can make an argument as a historical run for the Chiefs. They say Patrick Mahomes couldn't play on the road. We all laughed at that, remember? We laughed at that because he's got far more yards on the road than he does at home. He's got more touchdowns on the road than at home. But what did they say, JT? They said they're not going to doubt him, but you know what? They have time to fill, and I've had a lot of time. Let me explain something. I've had a lot of time to sit around and watch the hot take shows that I absolutely despise, but I watched anyway because I thought that would be nice fuel for the fire, and I've had a lot of fun on Twitter lately throwing some F-bombs out there at the national media.
I've seen it. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? They've pissed me off. People are like, calm down, calm down. Now everybody's pissed off. Now everybody's pissed off. Ref, 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 ref. Everybody's pissed off. Not just me. Are you mad, JT? Was I acting out of line with that? I don't think I was.
It got out of hand a little bit, but I wasn't like, I just let it go because it's kind of like this. It kind of fuels the Chiefs. So I'm like, bring it on. You want to keep talking? Talk, because it's just going to keep adding.
No, I mean, me personally, was I out of line?
Oh, you were funny, so I'll take
it. I had 270 impressions last week.
Wow.
That one tweet about blank the national media, because I can't say it on here. I can't on a podcast, by the way. Just that one in particular. Well, the Chiefs receipts, but blank the NFL. I'm not one that does a lot of social media. You know that. There's a lot of things that don't tweet, but I'll sure as hell tweet after a game if people piss me off. But
yeah, weren't you the one that tweeted the horse crap nicer words to Adam Schefter?
Yeah, a huge blank you to the national media and all the haters. 2,400 likes. So okay. There's a lot of Chiefs fans that agreed with that. And I tweeted it to Adam Schefter as soon as he put out the stupid tweet regarding, well, it's an issue the NFL's going to have to look at, but he singled out Mahomes. And even there was former NFL players on there saying, what are you doing, Adam Schefter? What are you doing, you know, tweeting about Mahomes? Well, why are you joining in on this? Why are you adding to the fuel on this? And I saw McAfee bring it up to him when he joined his show this week. Why are you bringing it up? And I sit here and go, the Chiefs just had the number one show ever, ever on ESPN. Who does he work for? ESPN. So right there in front of that. And by the way, the numbers are in again for this past week. Guess who had the number one AFC championship ever? Take a guess.
Come on. It's easy, this one.
The team that nobody's watching, remember? Everybody's sick of them, and they're tired of them. They're tired of seeing the Chiefs win. They get all the calls, and they're not watching. Well, ratings would say you're full of crap. Because you know what? You're watching. Maybe you want to see them get beat. That's fine. But you know what? You're still watching. You know what happens when you watch? The Chiefs make money. And they don't give a damn if you like it or not.
I mean, I just keep watching because it's funny. And I love the stuff that people say. And you know why Adam Schefter pointed out Mahomes? Because he knew he would get the clicks. He knew he would get the retweets because he pointed out the best player in the NFL.
But the numbers are in. The ratings are ridiculous for this game. It was absolutely insane what the Chiefs got on as far as their ratings are concerned. People were watching. They were watching in record numbers. You know, I remind people, three of the top four shows last year were Chiefs games. The Chiefs were the first team ever on Amazon. The Chiefs were actually the first game ever on night Thanksgiving, you know, outside the traditional thing, or Detroit and Dallas getting games on Thanksgiving Day. They had the first night game in tribute to Lamar Hunt Sr. They were the first playoff game on Peacock. They actually had a regular season game. It was the first playoff game. Then they made the Chiefs play three games in 11 days. They beat everybody. They beat the hell out of everybody. And they gave players rest, and everybody threw a fit. Like, not only do people complain about the refs, they were complaining about the Chiefs getting too much rest. This is the same people. Bills Mafia. I went out there and drank beers just to see the Bills Mafia in action. They weren't breaking tables, but I was hoping I was going to see it. And I'll tell you more about that story later, because I went to where they congregate because I was curious. And with the Buffalo Bills coming in here and people doubting the Chiefs and what they do, but it got more than the refs. Then they wanted to attack the Chiefs for too much rest. Like, let's find another way to attack the Chiefs. Let's attack the commercials they're on, and let's attack the fact that they got too much rest. And some of this was coming from Buffalo. And they rested their starters, too. They got beat by the Patriots that week. Josh Allen played one play. One play. And the reason he played? To keep his consecutive start streak going.
Keep the streak.
The Rams rested people. No one said a word. The Chiefs rested players. That, oh, my goodness, what are the Chiefs doing? What are they doing resting players? They can't rest players. Then you remind them, this team has gone to the AFC title game. Now it's 7 straight years, but it was 6 straight years. They've either gone to the AFC title game in overtime, or they've gone to the Super Bowl. Either winning the Super Bowl or that one loss against the Buccaneers. There is nobody that's played more football than Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Kershaw. Nobody. And I get it, they bring in new talent all the time. But you know what? A lot of these rookies from the last 2 years, you know what they've done? Well, the last 3 years, they've all gone to the Super Bowl. So they played a lot of football. They hit that proverbial rookie wall a long time ago, and they keep going. But the excuses keep mounting. And it's starting to get kind of funny, actually. You know what? It's not. I don't mean funny. It's at nauseam. I did a bunch of hits last week with our sister stations, like out in Portland and in Buffalo a couple times, in St. Louis, and several of them played the Evil Empire music when I'd come on. I was like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? And you know, I cover the Chiefs. I'm not a member of them, but you know what? Beat them and then talk about it.
It's funny because they say we cheat, and the dynasty before us actually did cheat. And this, there wasn't that big of a confusion.
Let's not forget it was the Patriots. When you want to talk about rule changes, the benefit of the quarterback, how about the tuck rule against the Raiders that they ended up instrumenting, and it wouldn't have been a Super Bowl, but the Patriots and Tom Brady got a ring because of the, quote, tuck rule that was put on because they wanted to protect Tom Brady. That was a Tom Brady rule.
Exactly. So I don't get the whole point of pointing out Mahomes when Brady's the one reason you have a tuck rule. So
they got in trouble sending scouts to Cincinnati Bengals games.
They deflated balls.
Andy Reid hasn't done that. Other than deflating balls, the name it, the Chiefs haven't done that. You know what? They get calls, and I think that people don't watch other NFL games. Matter of fact, I'm sure they just watch the Chiefs, and at this point, I think people buy into the narrative. Oh, it's the refs, refs, refs. You know what? There's a lot of times the Chiefs are held. They don't call it. Did you? What about other games? Did you not watch the Vikings and Rams this year when Sam Darnold had his helmet ripped off in the end zone and they gave a safety to the Rams? Do you remember that? That was a blatant face mask, and had that happened to the Chiefs, we would have seen a meltdown. Josh Allen had an official come over to the sideline and talk to him a couple weeks ago.
Had
that been Mahomes, people lost their freaking heads.
Well, what would have happened if, say, the referee did what the referee did in the Eagles-Commanders game? If the Bills jump off sides one more time, automatic touchdown.
They would have lost their freaking minds. But now everybody's just buying in the narrative. Now it's getting lazy because you're not watching the Chiefs games. You're just not. You're seeing every bad call, which happens in every game. It's not like these officials are perfect. Every time around the NFL, talk shows and everything talk about the officiating. Nobody likes the officiating. Matter of fact, remember when the replacement refs came and people liked them? It's like, what are you liking them for? Because they're going to be bad too. Because now you want the real officials back? Well, you got them. And you know what? Some are full-time and a lot of them aren't. And that's what the big problem is. Because you know what they are? The head refs, a lot of times, I had the list of what their jobs are.
I was about to say, we talked about this last year. They were principals, athletic directors.
Insurance, yeah. Managers, blah, 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 lawyer. They're all this. The NFL gives them a lot of money. Stick with that. But these rule changes, there's funny things, too, that happen. Like when the Chiefs went to the Bills in overtime a couple years ago. Remember that? You know what happened? Chiefs won the toss. Mahomes won it. The Chiefs won it. And they scored a touchdown. They win. Right? Remember? And then The Bills were crying, man. I mean, there were so many tears flowing from the East Coast. The NFL changed the rule. And they said both teams get it in overtime. Guess what they didn't do? A couple years before that, they didn't do it when D. Ford jumped off sides. Tom Brady and the Patriots won the coin toss. You know what happened, JT? He goes down and scores a touchdown. The rule was not changed. The rule was only changed when Josh Allen didn't get a chance in overtime to beat Mahomes. But, people forget about that because that doesn't fit in their narratives.
It's crazy because I was going to bring it up. Like, they don't change the rule when Patrick Mahomes in first season loses in the AFC Championship, but when he gets 13 seconds and he proves something and Josh Allen doesn't get another chance, let's change the rule, but hey, let's not do anything for Patrick Mahomes. Like, it is a narrative that people want to use because they're Chiefs syndromed out. They don't want to see the Chiefs anymore, and that's totally fine. I felt that couple times with the Patriots, but I'll tell you one thing, it's good to be on the good side, on the evil side now, than on that bad side.
That's right. That's right. Good to have it back. There's a lot of things to get into. We'll talk to NFL Network, Cameron Wolf from NFL Network, coming up at 7 o'clock. We'll talk about that. We'll look at a few things and start looking at this matchup coming up. And the Chiefs stopping running backs, because they really were. Earlier this season, they were running and shutting down number one running backs. They need to get back to that at this point. But for all intents and purposes, I've had a lot of time to watch what they're saying. It's driving me nuts. I'm trying to move on from it and not watch those shows, even though, I mean, it would have been unbearable to watch them had they lost. But I'll just put it this way. Just be the villains, man. Just embrace the heel role, man. Embrace the villains. They should all get black shirts on when they walk into the stadium instead of their suits they wear and says villains. Just Kansas City villains.
Or they should walk in with saying thanks refs and just buy into it.
Yeah. And also, I've got another idea for the 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 for the Chiefs in the postseason. I'll run it by you once again and see what reaction you have. But coming up next, Julian Edelman. Why are the Chiefs like the Patriots? We'll discuss that next. And welcome.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
We'll go back to that. There is Jay Binkley, JT Noah. People are asking me on Twitter about the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl. Yes. Matter of fact, podcast we're putting out later tonight or early tomorrow, whatever time Uno Cero gets that bad boy loaded, we'll put it out. It's we do character concerns. So it's character concerns, NFL draft podcast, which Chris kept going while I was gone for a little while. And we put a fresh one out tonight where we bring up the Shrine Bowl. We bring up the Senior Bowl. We talk about the great Chiefs draft classes and why they're sitting here playing in New Orleans because of that draft, specifically 2022, and how good that was when you have a Jalen Watson, when you've got a Trey McDuffie, when you got a Zay Pacheco. Not that I don't think Kareem Hunt's better at this point, but I'm just saying it helped you.
How big of a return
and
is
Carl
Watson? Return of huge.
Yeah, and Carl Loftus. So it, we'll be putting that out as well. Shrine Bowl Thursday night, Senior Bowl Saturday. A lot of guys are opted out. By the way, if you're a Kansas Jayhawk fan, Kobe Bryant's tearing it up at the Shrine Bowl, man. He is looking good. Like Kobe Bryant's one of those guys having a really good Shrine Bowl at this point. The Senior Bowl will be Saturday. And a lot of the scouts, they go for the practices and they bolt by the time the games start. But if you want to watch it, it's fine. It's changed so much. The combine's changed so much. Because now guys aren't doing everything like they did a decade ago where you run the 40, you do the vertical, you do the bench press, you do it everything. Now guys are opting out of this, opting out of that. They'll maybe do the vertical. They're only doing things they're good at, which I get, but they're only doing things they're good at. And oftentimes you have to go to their pro day. And eventually I think they're going to regionalize this thing anyway. The combine's changed. Last year, Jim Nagy, the director of the Senior Bowl, you know what, even talked about the lack of depth from the fifth round on because the guys that were deciding not to go to the NFL draft. So the fifth and sixth and seventh rounders weren't there. A lot of them were still going back to school. And that was interesting because they're getting paid. Not only that, but they can raise their draft stock up a couple rounds by going back to school because they just weren't ready. And in the turn, I guess that does help the NFL because guys are more ready to get on the field and playing. Even Brett Veach talked about that, the lack of depth at the Senior Bowl. And things change. Obviously, name, image, and likeness changes it so much. For these late-round quarterbacks or undrafted quarterbacks, they can now, you know, pick and choose where to go, get a lot of money, and make that move. They've even changed it now, which is stupid. If you play 2 years, say you go to Hutch JUCO for 2 years, usually if you transfer to KU or K-State at that point or somewhere else, you got 2 more years to play. If you play 2 years, you got 2 more. You know what? You got 4 years now, JT. JUCO doesn't count. Like, hey, it's crazy, man.
Hey, JUCO's like, hey, your practice round. Let's see how good I am. And hey, now we get 4 years up here, and I'm 28 years old.
Look, yeah. You're gonna see a lot of 25 and 26 year old guys drafted at this point, and that's what you're going to see as far as that's concerned. Julian Edelman, who's part of that Patriots dynasty, had some interesting things to say. And I loved hearing this because all we hear is the negative stuff. And really, anywhere you go, you hear the negative information. But I do like Julian Edelman because he went through this. He was with the Patriots. Are the Chiefs unfairly getting screwed? Now, because I don't like it, to be honest with you. At first, it's kind of like, okay, you know, people can't get over the refs. But now they're starting to minimize what they're doing. And going to 7 straight AFC title games in the past, that was huge news. A chance to three-peat. But people can't get this conspiracy theory out of their minds. I mean, they got the tinfoil hats on, man. They're alien abductions. They're waiting for that. They're waiting for Bigfoot at this point. And there's so much social media now. It's changed. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. Can you imagine if Joe Namath would have been around when they had Twitter? I mean, just imagine how a lot of these guys get to escape social media and what it does. But here was Edelman on the refs. And this, you know, from a guy that played for the Patriots, a dominant player in Julian Edelman and his thoughts.
It's apparent when you're on top, everyone wants to try to bring you down. It's a bunch of bull loney.
Nice.
That the league is helping the Kansas City Chiefs. If you got a problem with it, go beat them. Okay, the refs aren't involved in when you throw interceptions, when you fumble the ball, when you jump off sides, when you don't convert third down or fourth down or third and fourth down for short four times. They can't control that. Like, if you want to beat them, go beat them. Don't talk about it. Be about it. I'm so sick and tired of hearing people say that about the Chiefs.
Did you? And you did hear that, though.
We don't know. He's the face of the league. Okay? If it's close and you have to think about it, just stop. Okay? You got to do business as being done with the referees. We all have scouting reports on each ref crew on how they like to throw the game. You learn about it during that first part of that game. If they're calling it tight, you tighten back. If they're not, you just hope that they're consistent throughout the whole thing, which they usually are. And yes, they miss calls and they do these things and there's bad calls here and there. But you know, there's a handful of roughing the passers for guys that don't even have a resume that you looked at this year that got the call. If it's close, leave it alone. Yeah, they'll probably have to address that sideline awareness stuff. But, you know, these whole graphics about, oh, they don't get the call and they don't get the call. They don't give the call to them because they're coached better.
Hey, see, there you go, JT. It's just positivity, man. We'll bring the positivity. The players, and that's one of the shocking things, too, the former players that are saying some of the stuff that should know better. There's a former player right there saying, hey, man, they just coach better. That's the one thing no one talks about when they bring things up. Maybe there's a reason they're in 7 straight AFC title games. Maybe there's a reason Andy Reid is only 3 wins behind Bill Belichick for all-time wins in the postseason. Something you rarely see. Something you rarely see the networks talk about. I'll talk about it. Something you rarely see, and I've been talking about this for 2 months, that Patrick Mahomes has a chance to be number 2, which he already is now. He passed Montana. I was talking about this back in November. I was putting it on Twitter. But it's nice hearing in Edelman. But beyond, let's move past the officiating. And here was Edelman, how the Chiefs remind him of what the Patriots went through.
They're situationally tight. You watch them on third down. You watch them in the red area. You know, a lot of these games, when you get to this time of the year, they're not won by the team that makes the most plays. Yeah, that's part of it. It's usually the team – well, it's always the team that makes the least amount of mistakes, and that's what they do. They play mistake-free. They play situationally tight, and they lull you to sleep, and then they beat you when they need to. And that's stuff that we used to do. So, you know, it's been fun to watch them because, you know, hey, that's how football is supposed to look. A lot of these teams that are sloppy, penalties, turnovers, abandoning their run game when things get tough, trying to go for 2-point conversions in the second quarter, like you're beat. That's you. That ain't them. That's you.
It's something that happened. AFC title game, the Bills jumped on their fumbles that they fumbled. Josh Allen could have easily had 2 interceptions that first drive of the game. I mean, weird things happen in football, but they're fundamentally and functionally sound. And that goes all the way to the front office. You know, going out and getting the D-hop, which is, that played a lot the last couple weeks. I get that. But finding situational guys to do things, going to the draft and getting a Leo Chanel, They've blocked two field goals in the postseason. Going out and getting this Amijah Perine that iced the game for you because you liked what he did. You respected what he did out of the backfield because you've seen it before. He was cut by the Denver Broncos before the season started. Kareem Hunt was on the couch and has become your best running back, to be honest with you. I mean, all these things, it's organizational from the top down to the players. It's everybody, not just one person. It's why the Chiefs continue to have the front office being rated more so than their assistant coaches for some silly reason.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. You want to talk about the front office. You could talk about three moves that the Chiefs did that upgraded their team tremendously, and the Bills kind of helped them or were a part of this. You do the Patrick Mahomes trade. Then you trade ahead of the Bills to get McDuffie, who the Bills wanted.
And they were stuck with Kyrie Elam, exactly. Who screwed up the title game. And he had to play because they had to have him play because the guys got hurt in front of him.
Right. And then also, you trade with the Chiefs again this year, and you give Worthy to him. And you thought Coleman was going to do something, Coleman didn't do none. You go out and trade for Cooper, and Cooper didn't do much for you in the championship game either. So the Chiefs front office took it to the Bills front office before the season even started.
And the Deontay Johnson people have been real quiet.
Yeah.
They made the right decision. You got to make good decisions, and they make good decisions. Who's going to fit in the locker room? Who's going to help us situational football? Who's going to be that guy we trust on third down? Who's going to be that guy? And Xavier Worthy is a good talking point because Bills fans were bringing it up because he's been better than Keon Coleman. I know Keon Coleman had some injuries this year, but Xavier Worthy's been better. Not only that, the Bills gave the Chiefs their leading receiver in the postseason. Think about that. Their leading receiver in the postseason, the Bills gave the Chiefs. And where they drafted Coleman, they don't get the fifth-year option because it was second round. So crazy stuff. We'll talk about Xavier Worthy and just kind of the misnomers that people had about him at the beginning of the season and how good he is now. We'll talk about X next.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game, and head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Also, Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. And I'm a repeat customer to Jay Southland Tow Service, JT. I am a proud two-time, well, not really, but they were great. Not proud of what happened, which was my fault, but, you know, regardless. No accident or anything, just, you know, just dealing with some battery and starter issues.
Ooh, we love that. Yeah. Those are the funnest, especially in the wintertime.
They were great. Yeah, you know, when you're out for a while, make sure you start your car a lot. Because guess what? I didn't. Xavier Worthy. That was an interesting thing, man. When it came to the draft, people talking about, well, the Chiefs need to go out and get a lineman. I saw a lot of hot takes about how they need to get linemen. I wasn't in that camp. If you want a true starting left tackle, you got to move down, man. You can't get them where they're drafting. Because where they're drafting is going to be projected right tackles. Guys played mostly right in college or maybe barely played left tackle, which is what they had in Kingsley. A guy that was right tackle that moved over left. They got him in the second round. I was okay with that. I did not want that for the first round. I wanted wide receivers. And there was a slew of them that I did want. Xavier Worthy was a guy. And did you like Worthy when we drafted him? Were you a Worthy fan? Or were you one of, because a lot of people would send in text messages. A lot like when they wanted Deshaun Watson instead of Patrick Mahomes. The Xavier Worthy was too small. They said, don't be enamored by his speed at the combine. He's a one-trick pony. He's a circus freak at the combine. You don't want him. But we got that nonsense on those draft shows, the character concerns draft shows we were doing. We got that takes about the those hot takes about Xavier Worthy. And like in his national media, too, remember? I think it was Sunday Night Football crew, whatever it was, saying that he's a one-trick pony just down the field. Just that's all he is. That's all he is, a vertical nine-route guy. That's all he is.
Yeah, it's crazy. I was a Worthy fan, but I was also on with I was okay with Ladd. But I knew once they moved up, I kind of figured it wasn't going to be Ladd McConkey.
I actually like Ladd, too.
So I was like, okay, when they moved up, I kind of figured it was going to be Worthy, but I was okay with Ladd just because it felt like it would be a nice safety. Like, Ladd McConkey to me was like, okay, that'd be the Julian Edelman to Patrick Mahomes what Tom Brady had. So that's why I was like totally okay with Ladd McConkey.
Keon Coleman did good in that drawry run, you know, perpendicular, and they throw the ball to you. They did that, but he had the slowest 40 time. That was the biggest concern on Keon Coleman. This year, and I remember, you know, all the talk in Buffalo about, you know, Chiefs didn't get over him. Well, they did that. They did, actually. They did. Thank you, Buffalo, once again. You know, when the Chiefs call you, man, just start hanging up, man. Start telling the Chiefs, hey,
this is... See that 816 number? All right.
Yeah. Just be like, hey, man, this is a Wendy's, man. This isn't the Chiefs. This year, 59 catches, 638 yards, 6 touchdowns, receiving for Xavier Worthy. 17 games, 13 starts. Keon Coleman was hurt, but he had 13 games, 12 starts. So he had 12 starts. Xavier Worthy had 13. 29 catches, 556, 4 touchdowns. Rushing, 1 attempt for 9 yards for Keon Coleman. Xavier Worthy, 20 carries, 104 yards, 3 touchdowns. A lot of that comes to jet sweep. 6 touchdowns receiving. That's 9 for Xavier Worthy. And the guy that's led the Chiefs in the postseason in receptions. They needed this first-round pick. And if you're sitting there questioning yourself, oh, man, they should have got a lineman instead of a wide receiver. We don't need a wide receiver because that was the hot take. Ask yourself this. Who helped the damn Chiefs more this year, Xavier Worthy or Kingsley Suamatia, who was barely active? Ask yourself who helped the Chiefs more.
It's an easy answer.
Yeah, it's an easy answer. They needed wide receiver help, and I still believe they do. Now, wouldn't the thought, you know, when you think about Brett Veach in the offseason, and I remember, you know, during the draft last year, and we all thought it, Hollywood Brown, you know, maybe going to be a one-year guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. But then he gets hurt, and things change. You can't exactly go out and get the bag because you didn't have that track record to do it. So there is a real good possibility he comes back. Don't expect DeAndre Hopkins back with the Chiefs. Do I still think they should get receiver help? I do. To be honest with you, this is a tough draft for offensive linemen. People are like, well, they need to trade down to get a Kelvin Banks or a Will Campbell. I don't know about that. Going the free agent route might be the best route for the Chiefs. And, oh, by the way, speaking of linemen, Kansas fans, I brought up Kobe Bryant having a good Shrine Bowl. How about Bryce Caldwell? from KU that played right tackle for him, then left tackle this previous year, going to be an interior offensive lineman in the NFL, so props to him. But Xavier Worthy, and the one thing, too, is how tough he was, and you know how he played with injuries and whatnot, how he diagrammed the plays at the combine for Andy Reid, not only what he was supposed to do, but how linemen are supposed to be blocking the protections. He did that, too. Guys, a previous academic All Big 12. The guy led Texas, JT, team that's gotten to the playoffs the last 2 years, Texas. He led Texas in not only catches, but receiving yards for three straight years at Texas. His last 3 years, he led them in catches and yards at the University of Texas.
But all he does is run and go routes.
You don't do that by just run and go routes. You don't. And he's come in. It took him a while. It was like Rashee Rice. Now, with Rashee Rice, people hardly bring up that name at all. And Rashee Rice was off to a great start, man. Rashee Rice was coming to his own. Rashee Rice with his receiving crew. Now, I can't imagine they would have gone out and got DeAndre had they still had Rashee. But Rashee was better, to be honest with you, at this point than that.
Yeah. And I thought even it kind of was the same trajectory and the same path they took with Rashee Rice. You saw him get better over time throughout the season. And then when it comes to the playoffs, he's the number one target. I also think it'll be interesting to see how they, I would say, go to about the offseason, because I think you could bring Hollywood Brown back because he didn't get to play much this season because of the injury. You can bring him back and say, hey, listen, you probably still need another one-year prove-it deal, and why wouldn't you want to come back to try to win a second ring, back-to-back rings for you with this team and play with Patrick Mahomes?
100%. Here's Andy Reid. Here's Andy Reid on Xavier Worthy. His consistency, his improvement in the second half to Andy Reid this week when talking about it. Now, you'll hear a lot more from the Chiefs next week when they get to New Orleans. They kind of had a couple days off. They'll get back in action on Thursday, but they'll talk a lot, of course. Then they'll get booed. Remember last year they got booed on the opening night of the Super Bowl? They'll get booed again this year. Just trust me on that. They need to embrace the booing. Embrace the hate is what I'm saying. Embrace the hate. But here was Andy Reid on Worthy.
I was actually talking to his mom about that after the game. I mean, the kid every week has just gotten better and better and better. And he's really put together a nice half of the season, the second half here. Not that he didn't have good plays in the first half, but you could see he was learning in the first half and that the quarterback was kind of learning where he was going to be and how he was going to get there and then against all these different coverages that teams throw at you. So it looks like they're on the same page. You know, they'll have a big challenge this week or this next in 2 weeks with the Eagles. Their secondary, they've got a real good secondary there, too.
So there's Andy Reid talking about kind of the development of Worthy, which he really has come on. I mean, this guy's going to be a lot of fun for the Chiefs. And keep in mind, he'll get stronger. I do believe that. There's a couple times, man, it's just a tackle here and there. You're like, he break that tackle, man. He could use that 4-2-1 speed. He had the fastest time of any ball carrier in the Bills game. Just break that tackle and see him go the distance. But he's about to do it. When you watch Xavier Worthy, like, man, just one or two, and he's one or two moves, and he's absolutely gone.
I'm like, oh, the shoestring tackle. If he breaks that one, he's gone. It's so electric. And I don't know if you saw the video that surfaced right before the Bills game this weekend about when he got the call from the Chiefs. And I think it was a buddy of his in the background. You can hear him go, man, Buffalo's going to pay for that. And have they ever, especially during that AFC championship game.
Yeah, that was one thing. And, you know, thank you, Buffalo. You know, if it wasn't for Buffalo, we wouldn't have Mahomes. You wouldn't have Trent McDuffie. And you wouldn't have Xavier Worthy. Your rivals helped you. And then the Ravens gave you a left tackle a couple years ago, Orlando Brown. You didn't like him that much, but you know what? He did win a ring with the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up next, though, maybe how the Chiefs may have borrowed something from other NFL teams that you saw against the Buffalo Bills. We'll hit that. Plus, maybe something the Chiefs should do when they get down to New Orleans. And your phone calls. Yes, Neil. Neil texted. And yes, we will take your phone calls. 913-586-7965 next. Hey, welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, JT Noah. We'll talk to Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, in a few minutes. But do you remember opening night last year, JT? They've changed media day. It was used to be like during the day and everything, and then they make it a kind of a primetime event, and you have both quarterbacks going out there, sit down, you know, and the teams come out there in their sweatsuits or whatever, and, you know, each, you know, take turns with their media days. Do you remember last year when the Chiefs walked out at the Super Bowl, what it sounded like?
We're playing a great 49ers team, but we're going to go out there and play our best football and see what happens. I appreciate it, Niners Nation. We're here.
Oh, Niners fans, he's calling you out.
You remember that? Maybe that's just the location of it. Maybe it's in New Orleans. Maybe a lot of Chiefs fans make their way down there. But and here's the one thing about it. The Eagles aren't exactly a lovable team. Not a lot of people like the Eagles. You know, had this been Washington, Detroit, anybody, that's who America would have wanted. I think most of America probably will go for Philadelphia, but there's a lot of people who don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. Nick Sirianni's rubbed them the wrong way. So there's not a lot of Eagles love out there. You know, and people will complain once again, and they won't watch the Super Bowl. But you know what they'll do, JT? They'll watch the Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl, and I would watch this. I watched the Super Bowl even when the Patriots were in it during their dynasty, so I know people are going to watch it now. So they can say all they want on their phone and text, but the viewership will show they were watching it.
Yeah, it'll show that they're watching it, and, you know, Austin Carr put it out earlier. AFC Championship game, best AFC Championship game ever, 57.4 million viewers. Remember they had just about that against the Texans? And it was, 52 million for the Ravens and the Bills, which was nice, but the Chiefs and Bills the year before was even better than that. It was better than that. But the best for any AFC, NFC title game just in history, it was 57.6, which was the Giants and Niners back in 2012. But the top AFC one was the Chiefs and the Bills. Because we haven't seen a quarterback ever beat another quarterback four straight times, which happened with Mahomes and Josh Allen. The non-Pro Bowl quarterback, remember, Mahomes didn't even make the Pro Bowl. You remember?
Oh, yeah. Now I remember that, yeah.
Remember Johnny Gomes? MVP of the league, not on our team. You can say that as well because they'll have the NFL honors the night before the Super Bowl like they always do. Like last year, Chiefs didn't have anybody, nobody up for MVP, no assistant coach of the year, which should have been Spags, hands down, no questions asked. But wasn't it? The only assistant defensive or offensive coordinator with four Super Bowl rings. That's it. It's him. And he's got a chance to double that or be two ahead of anybody else on that list. Offensive play of the year. Chiefs weren't on any of them, right? It reminded me of Johnny Gomes in that victory speech in 2015. Not on our team.
Hey, you don't want to give us credit? That's fine. Guess what? We'll just go out there and prove that we're the better team.
At least Andy Reid is up for coach of the year, because usually that goes to somebody that sucked and then turned around and was good, right? But that's not the spirit of the award. And, you know, they're trying to do that with the comeback player of the year. I mean, they can't really do anything about it with the voter, but they're trying to. Saying, hey, man, well, it's not necessarily go by who's bad then became good. Let's go by injuries, like who was really hurt and then, you know, came back and made a nice comeback, right? Who made a comeback story? That's the comeback player of the year. And coach of the year, to me, they need to scrap that too. Forget winning four games and all of a sudden you're good. Reed's not going to have those years. His worst year in Kansas City is 9-7. Two games over 500. There's a lot of teams that just like to claim that. They can't. He's won coach of the year once. And he's second all-time in postseason wins. Only three behind Belichick. He's one of four human beings ever to coach in the NFL to have over 300 wins combined postseason and regular season. That's it. He's in the top four. One coach of the year. Kevin Stefanski in Cleveland has won the award twice. It is tougher to stay good. It is tougher to stay relevant when you got the bullseye on your back and people are gunning for you to stay at the top of the mountain, especially in this league. Everybody's got the same money. Everybody goes to the same draft. Everybody's got basically the same amount. Jeez, but you got to be smarter. But to have everybody gunning for you and you stay consistent, and then what he did last year, being 9-6 and turning that team around and winning a Super Bowl, then winning 15 games this year when everybody says you suck. He made water out of wine this year. That's your coach of the year. Vegas still believed in the Chiefs from the beginning, but the naysayers didn't. What's wrong with this team? They suck. They're not going in. And then, boom, they're in the Super Bowl. What do you do?
I would say I agree with you to an extent. Like, I would say this. I think last year he definitely should have won Coach of the Year because of all that was going on and people saying, oh, they ain't going to be this and all that. I also believed that he should have won it when he lost Tyreek Hill. But I still think you got to give Coach of the Year sometimes to a coach that takes a team from the bottom and moves them to the top. So I would say if I had to vote right now, my top two votes for Coach of the Year would be Andy Reid and Kevin O'Connell. Because I thought what he did with Minnesota and Sam Darnold was great, even though they were one ounce bounce in the playoffs. But I still think what he did turning Sam Darnold around this year was incredible. So those are my two top. And if it goes to anyone else, I'd be really upset.
No, that was incredible what he did. You know, and Dan Campbell and the choice obviously get runs. I'm a fan of waiting kind of towards the end. Remember like last year, the NFL top 100, Mahomes wasn't one, right? Like he's been the best. You know when they vote on that? That was voted on around Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, because the players, they talk about it because they have their piece of paper in the locker.
Remember, the Chiefs weren't very good. And you know, a lot of times players don't even take it seriously. But the Chiefs weren't very good in November, were they? They were not very good. But it is poetic that the non-Pro Bowl quarterback is in the Super Bowl once again. That's sitting. Brady didn't go to his fifth Super Bowl until he was 37. Mahomes 29. So it's a tough deal. But I think a lot of times we don't give people credit for staying good. Because look at all the teams that have won Super Bowls that turn around the next year or gone to the Super Bowl and aren't very good. And I know the 49ers had injuries, so did the Chiefs. 49ers make the playoffs? No. What happened to the Buccaneers after Brady won the Super Bowl? They win it again? They go again? No. What happened when the Rams won the Super Bowl over the Bengals a couple years ago? Have we seen the Bengals or Rams in the Super Bowl again? No. Have you seen the Chiefs enter it again? Yeah. I mean, it's tough to be where they're at and doing what they do.
Oh, it's extremely tough. And Andy Reid has done it time in and time out since Patrick Mahomes got there. I think you also get the fatigue when it comes to the awards for people to vote for the same person. But Andy Reid isn't getting votes. You just mentioned it. He's only won one Coach of the Year. That's incredible. You would think you had at least had two or three.
Sean Barber was on that team in Philadelphia.
That's crazy.
He's never won it in Kansas City. And the guy wins 12 wins a year. He won 15 this year.
How did he not win it the year he took Patrick Mahomes to the AFC Championship?
He's got a chance to win four Super Bowls. He's not Coach of the Year.
That's crazy.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
Coach of the Year, not on our team, right? Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, next.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane.
Youch. Did he have any hot sauce?
Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!